door, that door, and they're headed to Children's Church. If you got your Bible this morning, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. If you will, find your place in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to take our text verse today from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. We're going to spend most of our time in chapter 13. I want to preach a message today on the topic of pursuing love. Pursuing love. And you might think of that and you think, well, this is Valentine's, it's a week away. But I want to take a look at it from a biblical standpoint of what God has to say in the scripture and thinking about pursuing this thing called love. And you know, you're thinking, I don't know about you, but I thank God for our families in the church, and I know many of them. If we had time, I'd have them come share their testimony with you that met their spouse even down in elementary school. I don't know if they were pursuing love at that time, but that's a long time. Then going to school together and then marrying your high school sweetheart and being together all those years. And, you know, this congregation has been blessed. We have people in our church family that over the years have been married 70 plus years. And matter of fact, we got several in our congregation right here today. If we had time, that's been married 50, 60 years. I know that, 60 plus years. So somewhere along the line, they learned how to pursue love. But I want to look at it today from a biblical standpoint. And you think about that, you know, I'll never forget, you know, as a young man starting up, you know, we in high school, you know, you date and you go out on dates, but you're never, I mean, at least for me, I'm 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, whatever, and you meet a lot of nice girls and you date or whatever. But I remember the day came when I decided that, I had never fallen in love at that time. I was interested in the girls, but I don't know if it was part of the process or what you go through or whatever at that age, but I'll never forget the day that God got a hold of my heart, and he said, I was 19 at the time, and he said, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your body, with all your soul, with all your mind. I want you to put me first above everything else. And so at the time that came in my life, I was dating a young lady by the name of Lynn at that time, and I'll never forget, I had decided to go off to Bible college. And I had to explain to her that I had surrendered to the Lord, and I was headed off to Texas to go to Bible school. And she cried and she begged me to stay in Ohio. And I said, you know what? I just feel this is strongly what the Lord wants me to do. So when I pulled out of Ohio and left at that time, age 19, I said, that's it. No more girls, no more dating. God, you have my total focus. I'm focused exactly on what you want me to do. So I get to Texas, and I get there, and all of a sudden, then God pricked my heart one day, and he said, did you notice that young girl over there? And I said, Lord, I already settled with this with you back up in Ohio. I don't need to go through this again. So long story short, I met Anita in Bible college in January. We were engaged in 3 months in March and married the following January. And so that's, in my mind, was pursuing love. I didn't go looking for it. I didn't want it. That was the last thing on my mind. But this thing on pursuing, I really believe first and foremost in the scripture that we're looking at here. If we will pursue God first, he'll give you the joys of your heart. And so the scripture today, if you will, in 1 Corinthians, look at it in chapter 14. Now, when you study the Bible, you got to study it kind of in context of how it's put together. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13, and by the way, next year will be 50 years for our anniversary, and January next year. So this thing on, if you'll pursue love, but most importantly, I think it comes down to God first in our relationships. And so when you look at it here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, matter of fact, Paul said this. He said, follow after charity. The word interpreted here as charity means love. And if you look back up in verse 13, we're going to read that chapter here in a moment, but in verse 13, it said, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. And then he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So when you think about what Paul has written here to the church at Corinth, he really wrote here about spiritual gifts. And when you think about the gifts given to the church and the body of Christ, you know, we just don't come together as a church without a specific reason and a purpose and a plan. God has a plan. God has gifted the church. There are certain gifts, and He gifts each one of you. And there's a diversity of gifts and things that you can do in the body of Christ. And so when He gifted the church, He said in verse 1 of chapter 12, look at it, 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. And you know that the Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led, herefore give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now, I'm not going to preach on spiritual gifts today, but Paul then starts into chapter 4, or chapter 12 there, verse 4, and he begins to talk about the diversity of gifts, the different things of gifts, and equipping the church. And every person in the body of Christ, in the family of God, in the church of Jesus Christ, not everybody does the same thing. God has gifted you to do certain things in the body of Christ. And you need to find out what that gift is. Maybe I can come back and preach a series of sermons on that, of the spiritual gifts, and how do you know what your spiritual gifts are, and what God, the Holy Spirit, will gift you and to be able to help you in the body of Christ as we're all fitted together. And so he goes here and he talks about every believer is a member of Christ's body, and of such has a definite ministry. You have a definite ministry. You have a plan and a purpose and a specific plan in the body of Christ. So when you think about all these ministry gifts here and you put them in, we're not all the same. We don't all act the same. We don't all think the same. We all come from different backgrounds, different experiences, things in life, and one is gifted to do something else than versus the other. And so, but all these are tied together by pursuing love. And by that meaning today, by no matter where you're at. Now, we joke a little bit or talk about, you know, being married wives and couples today. But what I'm talking about today, pursuing love, applies to the widow, applies to the widower. It applies to the single person. It applies to every person of every walk of life. That our main responsibility, if you will pursue love first, pursue, and because the Bible's very clear, we're going to get to it in a moment, in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says that God is love. And so by pursuing love, you're pursuing God. I would say today, you want to have a good marriage? Pursue God first and foremost. You want to have a good relationship with your children? Pursue God. Pursue love first and foremost above everything else. Pursue Him. Put Him first in everything, in every walk of life. The thing that holds the church together, the thing that's the glue that binds the body of Christ together, and what it binds the family unit together is this thing called love. And it all starts because the Bible is very clear. God is love. There is no love outside of God. And to know love, you got to know God, and to know real love. And so let's look at it in 1 Corinthians 13 and in verse 1. And Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 13:1, though Paul said, "I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity." Now, when you see this word charity, it means love in the Bible. If you interpret that word, he said, "I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." And he said, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or have not love, I am nothing." So here Paul is saying, you know, these things are great on prophecy. All these spiritual gifts are great, but the greatest of all is love. And we find here, he says, Paul even says, though I have all faith, you know, when you think how important faith is in our lives, we have a faith, we have a saving faith. Today, I pray that you have a saving faith, that today that you're saved, you know you're saved, you know you're on your way to heaven, you know you've trusted Christ, you've never seen Jesus Christ personally, you've never seen Him in person, but today you believe by faith, you believe the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the greatest thing in our life. It saves us. We walk by faith. We live by faith. One day we're going to die by faith. Faith is so important. But more important than faith and hope is love, because God is love. So Paul goes on to say here in verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," talking about benevolence here, "and though I give my body to be burned and have not love or have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. So you got to put that word love in there because that's really what it means. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. And love vaunteth not itself. And love is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love, in verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as also I am known. And probably one of the most important verses in Corinthians is right here in this verse. And now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, love, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. One thing you got to keep in mind, when you study the church at Corinth, it was a great church. The church at Corinth was a powerful church. It was a church that was heavily influenced the community, but it was also in some ways a worldly church. They were looking for the spiritual gifts. They wanted the gifts. Many of them got things out of line on their spiritual gifts. By that meaning, there was a lot of pride involved, and they wanted gifts that would make them more known. They would want gifts that many of them speaking in tongues. Now, gifts of speaking in tongues was a gift in the first century in the early church. It was a gift in the church. What was the gift of tongues? Because Paul talks about it here. But it also says here, the gift shall cease. What is tongues? What is it talking about? If you're here and you're a new believer today, or you're not a disciple in Christ or whatever, the gift of tongues was given in Acts chapter 2, for the proclamation of the gospel so that those at the time of Pentecost could hear the gospel and come to Christ, and they could hear the gospel in their own language. Keep this in mind. Always the gift of tongues was only used in the Bible for the specific reason of preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, of winning people to Christ, and so that a person coming in could understand and hear the gospel in their own language. It always must have an interpreter. And it always must be able to interpret that. Now, it's interesting, when I go down to Haiti on mission trips and that down there, I always have to preach through an interpreter. Reggie is my interpreter whenever I'm in Haiti. I don't go anywhere without Reggie. If you go to a restaurant, you got to have Reggie and you're preaching. So, and preaching in a country with an interpreter is a little bit different because I can't talk as much as I do here at home, and you got to say something, and you got to stop, and you got to wait on him to preach what you just said. Then I say a little bit more, and then Reggie would preach a little bit more. The same thing with the gift of tongues in the Bible. Somebody would come, and they would hear it, and you'd have an interpreter that could understand and hear the gospel and hear it in their own language. Now, what you see in the 20th and 21st century today, and many areas, is the gift of tongues, or what people still think is in use, is the tongues movement today, is not operational in the church. It is not, it is not used, and many times I get presented with this, well, if you can speak in tongues, it brings you closer to God. I would just say to you, that's not biblical tongues. Or that you're somehow more holier or more consecrated or more sanctified if you have the ability to speak in tongues today. The tongues movement has ceased and is no longer in operation. Besides that, it has never been biblical tongues without an interpretation so a person could hear in a foreign language of what is being said and being applied to their life. That's biblical tongues. So when you look at it here, those in the church at Corinth were misusing some of these gifts. And so some of these things here in Corinth was being, what Paul was saying through here, these gifts that were being given, the most important is love. You got to have love that supersedes or overrides these things. And Paul's saying here, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Why do you give in benevolence? You know, we do a benevolent offering. We give and we try to help somebody that's poor or somebody is having a challenge or somebody is, you know, has their back to the wall or whatever. And we do that. That should always be done out of a heart of love. Reaching out to somebody in a heart of love, because we have, the Bible says here, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So love should be that thing that goes far deeper, and it says charity or love suffereth long, is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up. If you get into your relationships, first of all, first and foremost, and pursuing love is pursuing God, because God is love. But if you are anchored together in your marriage relationship and love is at the core of it, you can survive anything and go through anything and weather any storm or any difficulty in your child if love is at the core and you're pursuing God's love, and that filters through your marriage relationship and to your children and then on to your children and family or between you as a husband and wife. We find here that more important, Paul says that the main thing through all these gifts is always charity. The main thing is always love. And the Bible says here that love never fails. Whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they will cease. Whether it be knowledge, it's going to vanish. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, and that which is perfect is come, but that which is in part shall be done away. And when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. He says here, so now abideth these three. Faith. Is faith important? Absolutely. You're saved by faith. You walk by faith. You live by faith. You serve by faith. And one of these days, you and I are going to die by faith. Faith is so important. But according to this, and according to 1 John 4, it's not as important as love. Hope is important. But it's not as important as love. Now let me show you this. Go over to 1 John chapter 4 in your Bible. And 1 John, because I think it gives a better exposition here of what it really means about love and the importance and how that affects the body of Christ. When you study the church at Corinth, that was one thing that they was lacking, that love. More than anything else, I think when you come into a body of believers and you come into the church house and you come into a congregation of believers, you should feel that warmth and that love that permeates the air and that permeates one another and our relationships in the body of Christ. What is the opposite of that? You know what they were having problems with the church at Corinth? There was divisions. There was envy. There was challenges. There was things going on and that should not be going on. And love is the answer to that. Love is what cures that. Love is what pulls that all together. Fall in love. Don't ever fall out of love and that. And so today, matter of fact, if you're in a relationship today, you need to stoke that fire, encourage that, and build that relationship with each other and remain in love. I think it's an exciting thing to see a couple that's been married for years and years and years and years and still in love, head over heels, one with the other. How important that is. You got to work at that. You got to put time into that. And just so you know, idea, Valentine's Day is next week. If you want to get a little bit of head start, I don't know if it's chocolates, flowers, a date night, whatever works for you or whatever. But I'm talking about here in love and all kinds of relationships is so important that we put it there. And love, though simply, John teaches us here, is God. Look at it in verse 7. Here's what John explains to us. He said, Beloved, in verse 7, 1 John 4, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know, I just got to stop and interject right there. If you think about that, let us love one another. I don't know about you, but what I have seen recently as we finish the year of 2020, there's a lot going on in this world that is not about love. There's a huge display of evil. There's a huge display of hatred. There's a huge display of trying to do wrong one toward another in a human being and all, in a lot of areas, in a lot of arenas of life. The only thing I can say is when you see that going on, that is not of God. It violates the scripture. It violates the Bible. And so the Bible says, let us love one another. Yeah, you can disagree. And yeah, you may not agree with everything your neighbor says or does. And yeah, you may not even like what this or that. But somehow we need to still be civil in our society and be able to be kind in our words and be able to disagree and still love each other and still get along. There's nothing wrong to sit down and not everybody's going to cross every T and dot every I like you and I would agree. So we find here, though, we as a Christian, as a believer, love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, think about this now, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. One of the greatest verses in all the Bible right there. God is love in any form you look at it. To love one another, to love each other, to love our church, to love our those in authority over us, whatever it is. We should put on display in our lives this thing called love. And so we find here because that is pursuing God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we ought to pursue love. The Bible says in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The greatest love example you're ever going to get is God loving the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So He willingly came and showed us and gave to us that love in sacrificing His Son that come into the world. So God is the example of that. And so He says herein in verse 10, look at it, 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. If it was left up to you and I in the flesh, we wouldn't love God. We wouldn't love each other. But we need to know as we follow God and His example and pursue our relationship with Him, you want to learn more about love. We need to learn more about God. And we need to do what God expects of us in our example of living the daily in the Christian life, here in His love. Not that we love God. You know, it's interesting. When you think about your relationship with the Lord, who is it first? You know, if you really think about it, I did not go seeking salvation. I did not go seeking a relationship with the Lord to be saved. It was God the Holy Spirit, and I had people around me that invited me to church, and then I heard the Word of God, and the Word of God, the Bible says, is sharper than a two-edged sword and began to pierce my heart and convict me of my sin, open my eyes so I could see what I had not seen before, and then I began to experience and see the love of God, that He loved me so much that He was willing to die on the cross for my sin debt. But I didn't go looking for that. I didn't come in and say, sign me up for that. No, it was God. Without His saving grace, without God's love, without God's mercy, He makes that step today. But we need to love Him back and to love Him for who He is and what He's all about. And the Bible says here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us first. If you're here today, my friend, God loves you more than anything else. He loves you so much He's willing to sacrifice His only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says, beloved, if God so loved us, we then ought also to love one another. If God loved you, you and I need to love one another. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't know some of the people I hang out with, and how can I love them? No, my friend, I don't care who it is. Anybody of any walk of life, of any background, any denomination, any racial family or whatever, doesn't make any difference. We are one human race with one bloodline that goes back to Adam. And so when you think about that here, he says simply that God so loved us since that we ought also to love one another and not to hate our brother or sister or even the unsaved or the world that's out there. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, in verse 12, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. You want to learn how to love somebody? Then develop your relationship with God. The more you love God, the more you walk with Him, the more you pursue Him, the more you fellowship with Him, the more you'll learn how to love others around you and in that relationship. You know, different families grow up in different ways, and some families express their love openly and express their love one towards another. It's really a sad thing. You know, over the years, I've been in the ministry 45 years. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, you don't know how hard it is. She goes, I have to work at it because, she goes, all the time I grew up, my mother never told me that she loved me. And I thought about that, you know, early on years ago. And when I got confronted with that, I thought, you know, it's a really a shame that no family should ever go through that, where a mother or a father, a grandfather, a grandmother, your children, your ancestry, those that go beyond you, your children, your grandchildren, great, they need to know that you love them. And you need to express that and not to be ashamed of that and not to be shy. You know, it's always interesting. Everybody receives it differently. We tell all our children that all the time. My oldest son, oh, Dad, come on, you know, you kind of pushed me away. I hogwash. I'd grab a hold of him, give him a kiss on the cheek, or would tell him I loved him. I still do to this day. He's going to be 46 this year. Tell him all the time. Never hang up the phone, but, hey, buddy, I love you. Same with my other son. Same with my daughter. No matter where they're at and what they're going through, never hang up, never end a conversation without, hey, I love you. Want them to know that and how important that is. And God simply says here, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also then to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows you and I to be able to do that. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed. He said here, the love that God hath to us, and God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Look at it in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love. Notice this now. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. And if a man, note, boy, verse 20 is such a key verse. I want you to see this. Look at this. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. I didn't say that. God said that. He is a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You might be carrying a grudge or a heartache or a pain or whatever, and you say, well, somebody's done me wrong, or somebody said this, or somebody done that. It doesn't make any difference what it is. God says if you harbor hatred in your heart, you harbor anything in your heart, you harbor something there, how can we say we love God if we hate our brother? You know, sometimes emotions run deep. Sometimes trials run long. Sometimes we may say things that we later on say, I wish I hadn't said that, or I could take it back and do that. But, you know, it's always, you can always start fresh from right where you're at and go forward in the cause of Christ. Don't say it unless you mean it. And God simply says here, if we say we love God, if we really do love God, there's no room at all for any hatred in our heart toward anybody of anywhere, of any walk of life. Matter of fact, you want to be the best example you can be as you leave and you go out into this world, is to share the testimony of Christ and share the love of Christ. Just love other people where they're at and whatever walk they're in, and to be able to share God and share Christ with them, and to let them know there's something different about you because you're a Christian and because the love of God is in your heart and in your life as an individual. So when you think about here what Paul said to the church at Corinth, it is so important. Of these three things, and he's talking about the church at Corinth and these gifts that he gives, and out of all these abideth faith and hope and charity. And of these three, the greatest of these is charity. Now, I realize this week coming up is Valentine's. But you know, it shouldn't just be about one time of the year in February or whatever. It should be every month of every week of every year, year after year. And not only that, you know what you find interesting? The more you love someone, the more the deeper that love grows. And it is really, really hard. My heart just breaks. And, you know, we've had a lot of people here in this last year and beginning into 2021, I think, 10 last year and 2 already this year that have gone on to heaven. And a lot of those had long-term marital relationships and been married for many, many years, and a deeply committed love in that. And it just breaks your heart to see that somebody's going on to heaven. We should rejoice about that and be glad about that. But what has got left behind is that love relationship, that bond, that binding that held them together. And it's that love relationship. And you know what? That takes work. You got to work at that. You got to put time into that. You got to put investment into that. You got to pour yourself into that. And by that, first and step number one, first and foremost above everything else, is to pursue God, love God with all your heart. Paul said it this way in verse 1, out of all these spiritual gifts, follow, chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity, follow after love, and then desire the spiritual gifts. More than anything else, follow after God. Follow Him, pursue Him, hunger for Him, hunger to know Him, and hunger to have a relationship that's deeper this year than it was last year with your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can learn, you can dwell down, you can dig down, and you can make it strong. You say, well, how can I love Him more than I did last year? That love will grow. Stay into His Word. Obey His commandments. Same thing when you look at it today, and I watch these couples that go on and they get in a marriage relationship, and yeah, the day they said I do and I love you and give them that kiss at that great day of the wedding, and then, you know, year after year, 5 years go by, 10 years go by, 20 years, 50, 60, 70 years goes by. That's hard then when one of them goes on to heaven, leaves the other behind. Why? Because of that bond of love that draws those two hearts together, and pursuing that love, especially in the position of Christ here, and desiring more than anything else, more than all the spiritual gifts. And that's what the message was to the church at Corinth right here. You ought to desire the spiritual gifts. But more importantly than the desiring the spiritual gift is pursuing love, going after love, going after charity. Make that number one. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with every part, every ounce of your being. You want a better marriage? Love God more. You want to have a better relationship with your children? Love God more and follow His commandments in the Bible. It's all about your relationship with God, your salvation in Him, and being who it is that He wants us to be. God is love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we love You. And God, today we desire to walk, to fellowship. And God, You loved us when we were unlovely. You loved us when we didn't deserve salvation. God, You loved us when we didn't, maybe perhaps many times, don't love ourselves. And yet, God, You've shown Your love time and time again. And God, we love You and want to love You back and thank You from the bottom of our hearts today for who You are and what You're all about. May we, each believer today, take with us from the house of worship today, realizing that You are love and that we need to love one another and our relationships, our spouses, our families, our children, our grandchildren, our church body, our nation that we live in. Ought to be something different about the believer. And what makes them different is that love that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. God, today, if there's one here that has never accepted that gift of salvation yet, I pray today that they would open their heart and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Accept the greatest gift they'll ever give, and that's the gift of love of Calvary, if they'll just open their heart and trust You as Savior. God, speak to our hearts today. May we surrender all to You today and asking, God, that You continue to love us and that we would love You back with all of our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together. Today as we sing, we're open the altar if you want to come to pray. If we can be of help to you, we'd love to be able to do that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you've never accepted that free gift of salvation, would you do that today? Would you open your heart and trust Christ and believe Him today? But most important, my friend, 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, pursue God, and pursuing Him is to pursue love. As Brother Ron leads us, let the Holy Spirit lead you today.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't You let Him come in?
Let Him come in. He wants to love you with all of His heart.
There's nothing in this world can keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to
God's people said, amen. Thank you. Be seated just for a moment. We're going to have prayer and let you go. But this week, just read the bulletin. And this week, we have a deacon's meeting on Tuesday night. So just a reminder, I think there's dinner at 5:30. We'll be meeting in the chapel over here, and then the meeting at 6. And so find a place. There's different Sunday school classes we encourage you to get engaged in. Brother Paul Tacy teaches the Courageous class in the chapel, and Dolores Hamrick teaches over in A1, A2 with the ladies. And right now we have a Bible class here in the sanctuary that's open to anybody that wants to come. And we are in here for the social distancing and that. And then the youth department on the other side. And so just find a class or place for you to come and to get engaged in. So pray for our missionary family of the week. And I think that's it. And so let's go ahead and stand together. And we'll be dismissed in prayer tonight. Service at 6:00, and trust that you have a great week this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today, God, we love you. We thank you today that out of these three things, out of faith and hope and charity, the greatest is charity. The greatest is love. And God, why I think that is so vitally important is because you've explained in the Bible that, God, you are love. And so we ought to pursue our relationship with you to strengthen that, to deepen that, and to encourage us to walk in greater fellowship and to get to know you more each and every day. And God, if we can learn to do that, we can carry that over into our marriages, to love our spouses, to love our children, to love our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and to love those around us. And yes, God, even to in life as we journey along the way, sometimes there'll be enemies or somebody along the way that will not agree with everything that we agree with, and that's fine, that's okay. That we also then can put on display your love. And because you loved us, we can love them. And so, God, we love you today. Thank you for the word of God that makes it so clear. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Have a great week. Good to see you.